Okay, so I think we're live now. What's
Yeah, I
up?
can hear you properly. Everything is going good. I'm
Nice.
right now in Hamburg, Germany, north of Germany. Obviously, I think everybody's informed about the corona, the situation, and the
Yeah.
changes that it has
Yeah.
brought to all the people everywhere. You could notice it from I was just in a supermarket, and I could see all the people standing 5 to 10 meters apart from each other. And that's such a strange feeling, I have to be honest. I've not gotten used to it. So how's it going back in the US? How are people observing COVID?
I mean, we're living in crazy times, right? There's a lot going on. There's a lot of processing that's still happening in my head. I'm still trying to understand the situation. It's tough. It's tough. I'm right now in Atlanta. I live in the suburbs, so it's a little bit easier for me, but otherwise it's good.
But
Should we start by introducing ourselves?
yeah, I think that'd be good for everybody. So I'll just hit it off from my side. So Asfandiar Malik did my just a bit about what I studied, what my background is, and what I've done in the startup world. So yeah, I did my bachelor's in electrical and computer with a lot of focus on electrical. At that time, I realized that my passion lies more towards computer science, and then started moved there. Studied computer science, did my bachelor, did my thesis, focused on computer science, and then I moved to Hamburg. As you know, worked there for 1 2 hours, but 1 2 years, but always have the feeling that this is the corporate world is not for me. I made a lot of mistakes there, learned a lot, but I knew that I think startup world was my calling. And yeah, I started my first startup in food tech, food technology. I think the best way by which you could explain is that it was more like Airbnb for food. So, for example, if you make an extra portion of food, if you're a foodie who loves cooking, you make an extra portion of food, you could share it with people who are in the neighborhood. And you do that by going to the platform that was built by me and my co-founder Saad. So yeah, that was a platform business that I worked on that did not do that good because of the legal regulations that are there in Germany. After that, I moved and started another startup, Handix. And guess what? In a completely different industry, in financial technology. So, from food tech to financial technology, just in a matter of weeks. And yeah, so we're going strong with Handex, quite excited. A lot of things have changed because of Corona, but we are going strong and quite excited about this. Yeah, and you. Hi, so I dropped off from the call. I'm not sure if you can hear me properly. Could you please?
I can definitely hear you. I think we had some technical difficulties there. But I think we're fine. I think we're fine. I think we can, I think I got your part. Got my the I think we just cut off exactly when I was making some comments about what you just described.
Okay, perfect. Then you can continue forward.
Yeah, I think we're the problem is that we're still trying to figure this out, and this is sort of like the trial run, so as we go along, we might have a better idea of how to do it,
Yeah, I
in the best possible way.
think I think I agree with you. Just navigating through the new technology is also becoming harder for us, the startup
Yeah, totally. Feeling the old age
guy.
affecting you.
True that.
Okay. Yeah, I'll give a quick introduction about myself. I think for the purpose of saving time, I'll just keep it more short, and then maybe in like some episode we can really narrow it down and talk about different things. So first of all, I know Asfan from college. We were in the same dorm rooms, yeah, it was an interesting time. And I graduated from the same university as Asfan did. I did CS directly as opposed to starting from EE and going towards Are you by any chance on your computer?
Yeah, I'm on my computer.
Okay. I think the problem could be with your computer, but I think I got the audio. I got the audio on that. So we can just like continue. Anyways, so I started with some started working on different companies and then ended up in the startup world as well. Currently, I'm in the crypto business and I'm trying to understand how crypto is going to impact the future. That's a topic that I'm hoping to get into at some point. Not necessarily. But yeah,
Yeah,
that's
that's much more interesting space. A lot has changed in the crypto world in the past 3 4 years. So just based on that, I was also involved a lot in the crypto space in 2017, 2018, something that you would say as the bright period of crypto, because everybody was making crazy amount of money, and that was a good time to be. I'm not sure. I think a lot of new startups were built during this time, and a lot of startups died
For sure.
after that. So how does it feel
It
working
was.
for one of the top companies, top crypto companies in the world, Coinbase?
Yes. So I work at Coinbase right now. Yeah, Coinbase is definitely like okay, so it's definitely a privilege working for Coinbase because just for example, just to give you an example, just yesterday I was having a conversation with one of the PMs on the team. Asking him, he's actually the head of product, and I just slacked him. I asked him, is it possible that we can do like a card, like a Coinbase card, like a debit card, something that Coinbase already has a card, by the way, but they don't have like a Visa card. They have a crypto card where you can pay with crypto, and I think most of you agree when I say this that nobody actually uses crypto for making payments. So I was suggesting if it's possible to use Visa debit card to you to make per to for making purchases and getting crypto as a cashback reward. And if you live in US, this is like a very, very common thing. Like you get cashback rewards for all sorts of stuff.
Also in Germany, we have a lot of cashback. Exactly. We have also a lot of. So one point, I just sorry for interrupting, but one point, don't you think that starting using credit card or debit cards with normal dollars would go against the principles of Coinbase or the community, the crypto community, because that is
No,
much for
absolutely
using
not.
and leveraging?
I don't, not at all. Because you, okay, so for example, this is not a novel idea. You have Square doing that. You have Robinhood having a debit card. You have Apple that have a debit card. So it's not an unusual thing to do. The only difference is that with Coinbase, having a Coinbase debit card, that to me sounds like a game changer. Like you like imagine having a Coinbase card in your wallet. I mean, you have an Apple card. Sure, you like the Apple brand. Apple devices are awesome. Like you love those things and you want to show it off to your friends. But when you have a Coinbase card, it's not just the fact that you want to show it, but it also gives you back crypto. So you actually earn crypto in a way. So people that are not into crypto are going to end up with, cryptocurrency. And I think that's great.
Okay, so one question I have here. So how is this? So just mentioning on the fact, I understand that Robinhood, Apple, all of them have their own debit credit cards. I'm not sure credit, but I think they have debit cards. But this is they're in a completely different industry. Coinbase for me is more like crypto. So I'd imagine that they'd want to find another solution which is not based on dollar, or maybe I'm not even understanding this clearly. So, for example, how exactly would a credit card or a debit card for Coinbase work? Would I have some Bitcoins and some Ethereum, and then when I go to a supermarket, I'd be paying with Ethereum, with the credit, with the credit card, which is going to leverage
I would
Bitcoin?
imagine that you would have US dollars. So you'll have US dollars in your Coinbase account or US dollars with your bank. I don't know. Maybe it could be associated with your bank and then you get a cash back in your Coinbase. I don't know the specifics. I don't know exactly how that's going to work. And I don't even know if that's a good idea. But the point was that this is the sort of stuff you can do when you work at a startup. Like you can propose these ideas and potentially those ideas can be like game changers. And that's like something that I really enjoy at, working at a bigger company that's still fast moving, that has lots of things that you can do. And you know this because I also worked in the startup space and, you know, like trying to build something on my own, and resources like are an issue. So you work at startups, you can make a lot of impact, but you have to watch out for when your bank account starts depleting, because that's not going to feel nice.
That's when you start in basket.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Anyways.
But based on that, I wanted to ask, so what was your startup experience? What is the startup that you built? How much time did you spend, time, money, and when did you decide that, hey, right now is the time that you should stop working at it? Because, I sit with a lot of founders, and there's always a problem that the business is working. It's just a lifestyle business, and they just keep on going. Sometimes they do not even know when they have crossed the chasm. They want to cross the chasm with their product, but don't cross it. So what time do you call it quits?
I think you're spot on with the fact that you're just going. You don't know when you're going to cross the chasm or something. And you're always waiting for the day when things are going to hit and, you know, you're going to make the breakthrough. And that's like the startup life. That's all about the startup. Even if you think about Facebook, if you go back to Facebook history, Facebook was started in 2004, right? Yeah. In 2004, we were like kids and like nobody was on there. Nobody was using web browsers for like you connecting to friends. I don't think anybody was. I think people were just getting a hang of what MSN Messenger was, or, you know, they were just getting a hang of how messengers work. Yeah, so basically that's how startups work. Like, you don't know what you're doing. You hope that things are going to work eventually. For me personally, I think the reason wasn't so much more than the fact that I just figured that I don't have more resources to continue. Like, I wanted to raise funding, and I was having trouble raising funding. And there's just like so much competition in crypto space, and nobody wants to fund crypto companies that don't have a very clear
moat. If you could pinpoint which exact year was it when you were trying to raise funding for crypto?
So I was trying to raise funding throughout my journey. I wasn't raising it from every single person though. So I wasn't actually saying that, you know, okay, so I want to start. So I want to talk to maybe like a random X person or Y person. I wanted to like approach the people that were doing things that were similar to what I was doing. So develop that sort of partnership. Also, at the same time, be confident about what I'm doing, and maybe that was not exactly the best thing to do. Maybe I could have developed, like formed like an idea, formed like a vision, and just approached the people that were, you know, investors, and then try to figure out how I'm gonna achieve it. But I wanted to have a very clear goal.
What exactly was this idea? What were you trying to? What was exactly the pitch? What would be your elevator pitch for this idea?
So first of all, I think really for the purpose of this episode, I want to keep it relevant with the current situation and just like discuss things that are happening right now. But we can get into startups. Like, we can get into historical context and different things. So what was I trying to do? That's your question, exactly. Right? So what I was trying to do was I wanted to understand how you can use crypto to build a financial system, you know, to actually build something that is going to incentivize people, you know, like people from different parts of the world, to incentivize people to do business activities in a way that's not tied with dollar or not tied with national currency, but it's tied with like something that is nationless, decentralized. Essentially, like, you know, try to figure out if we can set up like that governance system that's not based on any nation. I think this is an ancient concept. I think we're still sort of in this moment in time where we're like too tied with our ancient ideas that, you know, we need to have these governance systems. We're sentimentally associated to those systems. We need to have, people think that, you know, like because of the fact that you have like a certain color or you have like a certain lifestyle, you belong to a certain region. You can see that in America, you can see that in Germany, you can even see that in Pakistan. Like you, if you're like, you know, if you're white, for example, and you own like a pickup truck, it's funny I say this, by the way, because I'm right now in south of US, so maybe I shouldn't be speaking too loud, but anyways, so people have these like ideological ideas which are ancient, honestly. Like in the modern times, it doesn't fucking matter. Like who the fuck, like even in like, I don't know about Pakistan, dude, but you live in Germany, right? And you have people from all different sorts of races in Germany. You have people from all sorts of races in the US. You know, people are like so tied to these ideological ideas. It's, to me, that's just fucking insane. But yeah, so nationless currency is that's what Bitcoin is to me. And financial system, you can build a financial system on top of Bitcoin.
Yeah,
that's sort of like how you do it. And I can go into details of like how and who's doing this and why they're doing this. You know, there's a lot.
I think if you start talking about that, we'd be talking. It's such an interesting topic. We'd be talking for another 5 hours. But yeah,
I can talk forever, man. I've been talking on this forever.
I can totally imagine. I think just raising back to your point, maybe we stick with a bit to our agenda, and then we could take this on a later episode where we discuss and dig deep down into the crypto space.
Yep. Let's pick this up sometime as a separate topic.
Perfect.
Cool. So you want to get into my questions?
Yeah, I wanted to discuss with you first of all the impact of Corona, or because you were right working in a startup. Mm-hmm. How exactly has it? How exactly is the business impacted for your company Coinbase? And second of all, are you working from home? How is that affecting your morale or your efficiency? Because there are many different school of thoughts here. So, how's your personal experience there?
Dude, that's a great fucking question, honestly, because that's like cuts to the meat of the core of the problem, right? Cuts to the core of the problem. Working from home is hard, you know. I'm pretty sure everybody agrees to that, but it has its own challenges. But you lay it on top of coronavirus situation and you get into this sort of lifestyle, which is like, feels like genuinely fucked up. Like, I don't know how to pull myself out of this. Like, I basically don't listen to news. I've stopped. Like, I try to keep like a positive mindset just so I can do the work that I'm supposed to do on a daily basis. Because otherwise, if I keep thinking about, you know, the fact that, oh no, I can't get out and I have to get like business shut down, everything is going to be fucked up and everything is just going crazy, I don't think I'll be able to like maintain that lifestyle, like a positive lifestyle. So I shut myself off, you know, and Coinbase is not really impacted so far. If anything, Coinbase thinks that this is an opportunity. I don't know if I 100% agree, but you know, so from an economic standpoint, you know, you have the modern monetary policy theorem, which says that that money is sort of like a flexible device or instrument, and you can print as much money as you like. If you need more money, if you want to create more debt, you can do that. it's just based on human requirements. And then you have the traditional school of thought, the Austrian school of thought, that says that fundamentally you need to hedge on like a system of hard money. So you need to have like fixed amount of money, which is traditionally gold, but now they say that it can be Bitcoin. And so this is the sort of ways people think about in crypto space, and they think that, okay, well, we can have hard money as a new form of money, but nobody actually uses the hard money, you know? So it's kind of like a chicken and egg problem.
Understandable. So exactly understandable. So people in the crypto space are thinking this is an opportunity because gold, which was replaced by dollar, and now dollar could be replaced by Bitcoin. Is that the sentiment that dollar could potentially be replaced by crypto because the Americans, they are printing dollar like crazy?
Yeah, I think that's the that is you're right. That's the general theme.
Nah, okay.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Interesting. And together with that, what is your feeling regarding the remote work? Because we're all over Twitter, you'd see different school of thoughts. Some people are saying that work from home remote is just a fad now, and as soon as we are done with Corona, people are going to go back to living normally. Together with that, there are other people, CEOs and CFOs, who are thinking that they could save maybe per year 10 million or 15 million if you have a 400, 500 people company, and that money could be leveraged for the use of the company. So maybe work from home is even more efficient. So do you think after this, a lot of companies are going to go remote, or are they going to go back to being what they were previously before the advent of?
This is like an even more difficult question because honestly, I don't even know how we are gonna get out of this. Do you think that it's gonna be like, yeah, actually, before I answer that question, like based off like what I think, maybe I can ask you another a different question and you know, like a sub question to your original question. Like, how do you think we're gonna get out of this? Like, where do you like how do you think we're like one day we're just gonna open the doors and say, okay, things are back to normal now, or is it going to be more gradual? Like what do you foresee next, you know, a couple of weeks, months, maybe a year, years, I don't know, forever?
Perfect. Yeah,
Like,
it's
what do you
perfect.
think?
First of all, I think I'm a very, very optimistic person in everything when it comes to life. So I think it was also this thing. I think now I see the whole world panicking about Corona, and I think when humans sit down, they panic and they try to tackle a problem, then they find a solution to it. So my future optimism tells me that obviously life is not going to be same, but the impacts that Corona has done to the economy, I could totally see that the countries are opening in 1 to 2 months. I could totally see that they are saying, okay, slowly and steadily, everybody has to start going back to work. We do massive testing. We try to find out people who are sick. They go to the hospital and they have to quarantine. If the government starts putting harsh punishments on people, that hey, if you have a problem, you have to quarantine yourself. If you do not do that, then you are in deep trouble. You have to pay this much amount of money. And if people collectively care about that, I think we can go back to a semi-normal life, which is, and by semi-normal, I mean, okay, people are going to resume work, but a lot of things are going to change. Social gatherings, clubs, bars, a lot of young people are interested. So those things are going to be impacted, I think, forever. I think I could not even see
So,
clubs even opening 1 year or something in Germany, at least.
interesting. So you think we'll not have clubs? I mean, how do you think clubs are going to survive if they don't open for 1 year? Are they going to go
I
bankrupt?
think depends. In Germany's semi-social society, the government is already paying 60% of the salary to every person. So I'm not sure if you're aware of that, but every person in Germany
Oh,
has the
that's interesting.
possibility to get to all the companies who want to benefit from this. They have the possibility of putting all the employees on 0% work. And if a person is on 0% work, they get 60% of their salary from the German government. So Germany, I could totally see them supporting the clubs, but I think clubbing business has been impacted forever now. This is going to change. And, you know, even when I mean that these things open in semi-normal manner, I mean that if a bar has, for example, 10 tables and 30 people can sit in there, so bars are only going to let in 30 people. Now, this is exactly where the problem comes when it comes to clubs. There are no tables, there are very few tables. How do you determine how many people could be put in there? And if you have a club, you're only letting in 20 people, then it's also not going to work.
Okay. So I'm going to present an alternative solution. Not necessarily a solution, actually. I'll present the alternative side of the argument. I'm not saying that I'm taking this side, because I think that this is the way how things are going to go. But just for the sake of argument, I think that in a few weeks from now, people are already starting to get tired of this. You know, they're saying that this lifestyle sucks. I think we had panic before. I don't think we are in panic anymore, to be completely honest with you. I don't think we are in panic, because panic to me was when like shit was not under control. Now it seems like it seems like it's not the end of the world, you know, literally speaking, it's not the end of the world. There's going to be life. We just don't know exactly how that's going to look like. I think that another thing that I noticed just today was people were getting very, everybody was being very anarchist, in a sense that everybody thinks that they're doing the right thing and everybody else is doing the wrong thing. And some people think that going out is the right thing. Some people think that people should be forcefully asked to be inside their houses is the right thing. Some people think that testing everyone is the right thing. Some people think that even declaring that, you know, that this is a number of deaths that we have to the public is the wrong thing to do, because it's going to induce more panic. So you have lots of different arguments, and everybody is of the opinion that they're pretty confident that, you know, like things are not under control, and things are not under control. Like, it's pretty clear. Nobody is in control right now. You can say God is in control right now,
or Corona
pretty much
in control.
Or coronavirus is in control. Nobody else is in control. So we are in anarchy. And what's interesting about anarchy is you have different systems, right? And sometimes systems get destroyed. When systems get destroyed, you create new systems out of the destroyed systems, which are better. And I think that's a very philosophical way of looking at this, but that's what I think is going to happen. I think we're not, maybe we won't see clubs anymore. I don't know. Maybe we will. Maybe there will be clubs, because everybody needs to go to clubs, or at least people need to go to clubs, those that want to. Maybe we'll have a better system of screening, of making sure that, you know, just giving the assurance to the people that they're safe, because we need assurances right now. Like, everybody needs to be assured that everything is okay. And maybe we can have like a test for every individual, you know, make sure that everybody has a profile, and their profile says that this person is safe. I don't know, maybe a systematic change. I don't exactly know what's going to look like. But I think that business activities, like clubs, we're going to get back to clubs. But we're not going to get back to clubs like we did before. It's going to be the same thing. It's going to be a party, and people are going to be dancing. It's going to be packed, because that's what a club is supposed to be. but it's just going to look different. Like the entrance might look different.
So you think at the entrance people would be checked even more than they were previously? For example, a lot of people were mentioning that after 9/11, all of the airports completely changed, and everybody was being checked at least three times more. So do you think also in the airports forever we have changed the structure of airports where every person has to be specifically checked before they're allowed inside a country? And also, even if they are checked, they are sent to 14-day quarantine. For example, I was hearing some reports that all the people who are landing in Beijing, they are being quarantined for 14 days in hotel.
I think that's the first thing that's going to change, because that was ancient, dude. Like you were being scanned for random shit. Every single person was being scanned for some shit that happened 20 years ago that, you know, like 99.999% of the time is okay, but maybe like sometimes he's not or she's not. Because they're carrying drugs or whatever. Nobody is fucking stupid to actually carry the drugs. They have like, there's so many better ways to actually do this. Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying that it's fucking stupid. Like, this system is fucking broken anyways. Good thing that we're going to start with those. Like, those systems were
I think broken. Maybe I think a bit differently there. It was a functioning system, not a perfect one, but definitely a functioning one. I think exactly coming back to your point. This corona is going to impact so many things. So many things that completely get destroyed and built from the bottom up. And this is also my conclusion here. That it's sometimes a lot is going to change. And the freedom that we enjoyed in the past, that might get limited, because in countries like Germany, the government is trying to ask all of the data providers to provide information on the users. And, you know, for a country like Germany, that's a very, very shocking thing.
Maybe this could happen, something like this. So governments realize that airlines are fucked and we have to bail them out, because that's the obvious thing to do. Otherwise, all travel is stopped, right? And you don't want that. You actually want people to travel. So governments come in, they bail out the airline industries. And while they're bailing out the airline industries, they're like, okay, what do we do with these guys? Like, how exactly, like, you know, they're in heavy losses right now. Like, do we just give them the money and let them operate? That's not going to happen. Like, let's just be realistic. That's just not going to happen. So maybe what can happen is that they say, okay, maybe we should privatize, maybe in US, not in Germany, but maybe in US, they say, okay, let's privatize these airline industries. Maybe let's build them out temporarily and then privatize them so that somebody who has the best solution can try it out and like can build something, maybe like a business model, or maybe like a, you know, like just fix it, just make it better. Just, you know, like privatize certain sectors, security section, maybe other section. And because of privatizing those things, you might end up with a lot of different opportunities. By the way, another thing to realize is that this is not going to happen immediately. Like, even if you get like a perfect model for these things that is much more efficient, cost effective, and is just like 100 times better than what was being done before, it's just not going to happen in like a year. Even it's going to take a lot of time. So I think there's a lot of things to be talked about, like how things are going to get better and how things are going to improve and how things are going to change, and most importantly, how are we going to get back to business? We really need to get back to life.
That's the point right now. I think we're running out of time, but I really want to ask your opinion regarding the bailout, because I'm seeing a lot of conversation on Twitter all over the world where people are discussing that maybe for the first time, we should not bail out these hotels. We should not bail out these airline companies. And, you know, I've heard both of the sides, one of the sides where people are mentioning that if the company is failing, you let it fail. And failing a company does not mean that the company destroys. It just means that the management is going to change. On the other side, I also hear people who are talking that, hey, we can't let these companies fail, because if these companies fail, then people, so many people are going to lose jobs. There is going to be massive unemployment. So what is your opinion on this?
I think both sides are right. In my opinion, I think, you know, like obviously bailing out these companies like completely is that would just be like insane and inviting yourself for more trouble, because people are gonna protest. That's just not gonna happen. Like you can't just bail them out.
Look at all the hedge funds, easily. The big hedge funds, Blackstone, all of them. They were completely bailed out in 2008. So the private equity, the hedge funds, all of the big CEOs, they did not go through any trouble after the 2007-2008 crisis. And you know, people have very short memories. So from my standpoint, I think people are going to forget about this very fast.
That could happen. I'm not going to say that's definitely not going to happen, but I just don't see how it's going to be easy for them to just bail them out without any repercussions. It might be something that they're able to do it. It also, just keep in mind that we do have, you know, real elections coming up. Like there are things that are coming up right now that are going to incentivize.
And Donald Trump, Donald Trump want to get reelected. You know, I was also hearing one point of view from Chamath. I think it was from Chamath or Mark Cuban.
Yeah, he's been
I see that. Or maybe it was from Mark Cuban. But they were saying that if the government is going to bail out a company, the government needs to have a stake in the company. For example, they get a minority stake, but they should get it. What is your opinion? Yeah. Do you think, okay, we're running out of time, but do you think they should get an equity stake in the company?
This is a hard one because it's a hard one because I don't know the details. What I'm reading is that there's a lot of anger and just frustration against governments bailing out companies. There's a lot of CEOs or hedge funds that have like leveraged their positions like 100x, and they have taken massive risks, which means that they have to eat the, you know, they have to, you know, they have to basically, they fuck themselves up. They put themselves in a bad situation. So they have to, you know, face the music. But I think we might see something a little bit different here, you know, because at the same time as you're doing this, you might want to also, governments are inefficient. In US, you need like massive infrastructural changes to actually make sure that governments are responsible for this stuff. So they might have a minority stake, but in the company, but they might, I don't know, maybe they want people to privatize it. I don't know exactly what happens. It's a difficult one.
I think exactly on a last point, I think I completely agree with you on this, that it's a very hard problem. I think one of the Western society is built on capitalism. And if you have governments which are taking equity stakes in the company, then it's not capitalism anymore. And this is the fuel for the engine of the Western society. So maybe that way is also not good. But also letting these hedge fund, Blackstone, the private equity companies just go without any repercussions, that would also be crazy. And so I think let's see what happens there. But
all right,
only time will tell. That is true. Since we're reaching our mark, I think this is the perfect time to just call it a day. Super interesting discussion. And looking forward to discuss this in detail next week.
Totally. Yep. Hopefully we can like continue our podcast, and hopefully, you know, who knows, maybe someday someone might look back to this like stupid ass podcast and say what was the first one
that we got. That is exactly true. That is true. True. Perfect. Thank you. Right, and then talk to you later, and stay safe in this quarantine time.
All right.
See ya,
everybody. Bye. See ya.